And they see their boy, 12 years old, in the temple, speaking with all the doctors and the rabbis and the Bible scholars, asking each other questions and listening. And all sat in amazement listening to this 12-year-old boy. How can he know these things? How can he have this deep understanding of Scripture? Well, because Jesus wrote it, right? In the Spirit, he wrote it, right? And so his parents walk up to him and say, Jesus, what are you doing? You know? And Jesus, his first response is, why do you seek me? What do you need? You know, what are you looking for me for? I'm here. What do you mean you're looking for me? And then he says to them, after his mom says, you know, we're worried sick about you. You know, we're come looking for you anxiously for 3 days. He says, what are you even looking for me? Did you not know I must be about my Father's, capital F, Father in heaven, business? And they're just staring at this kid, right? What are you talking about, your Father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. I'll translate for you. Jesus got in trouble. Jesus got in trouble. Because remember, his parents still had to raise him until he was 30. You became a man when you were 30. It says here, Jesus would rather stay in Jerusalem in the temple, but because he was a good son and he didn't sin, you have to obey your parents. He went back with them to Nazareth until his ministry started. He was subject to them. He obeyed his parents. Now, it wasn't that he disobeyed his earthly parents. They didn't have the discussion. He didn't say, you know, I'm just going to hang out here for, you know, 18 years until my ministry starts. You know, he just couldn't leave the Father's house, you see. And so it says he was subject to them, but his mother, this is said several times in Scripture, Mary kept all these things in her heart. Remember, there's a sword coming to pierce her heart. That happened at the foot of the cross, didn't it? She saw her boy crucified for the sins, our sins. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Now that's the full Christmas story. Unfortunately, we only focus on the first 20 verses at Christmas time. And that's okay, because everybody's got dinner parties and presents to open and family time, right? But we're studying this now because for us, our family time is introducing those people that think they know Jesus or don't know Jesus to the babe in the manger. That's what Christmas is about. Christmas celebration is celebrating the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection, and salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we focus on just the heartwarming babe in the manger story at Christmas. And one of the reasons is that everybody goes out to church that thinks they're Christians on Christmas and Easter. We call them C and E Christians. Christmas and Easter. They're C and E Christians. They come out, they call themselves Christians, they come out for Christmas and Easter. They only get fed twice a year. I can't live if I don't get fed twice a day. Food, right? And this is spiritual food. You know, our spirit gets fed off of this. And people that call themselves Christians or think they're Christians, they may not be Christians. They may not be saved. So we focus on the whole gospel story. This is the whole story of the birth of Jesus up till he was 12 years old. So this Christmas, that's why we're studying it now, we'll be well into Luke by the time Christmas gets here. Maybe we'll count the chapters and figure out where we're going to be, but we're not going to be here. We have this now. This is our Advent. This is where we start thinking about Christmas and as shepherds proclaiming Jesus' birth, as witnesses to the birth of Jesus by the Word, talking about Jesus as Savior and holding in our hearts what God has for us, like Mary did. What God has for us is to spread the gospel news, the good news, the gospel message. That's our mission this Christmas. Because there's surely people in your families that will come visit you this Christmas. And you'll spend time with family and friends. I guarantee not all of them are saved. That's our job. We're the shepherds. We're the ministers of the gospel. Merry Christmas. Let's close in prayer of another song, a hymn, and I completely forget what it is. It's found on page 54. Oh, I know why I picked this. Because at Christmas, we need to focus on Jesus, don't we? Page 54, everybody.
54? 54, yeah. It's at the back of the book.
Toward the back of the book there. Let's do the first and last verses.
Go the other one. 5-4.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Together, please.
There you go.
Oh, so are you weary and troubled. No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior. And life more abundant and free. Chorus. Turn your eyes. Trying to tell us here that remind us that we have a job to do and we have to keep our focus on you, especially during the holidays. We get pulled every which way, Lord. We got to send out Christmas cards and we got to go buy Christmas packages, gifts. We got to go buy Christmas wrapping paper. We got to buy Christmas this and dingle dangle that and knick-knack at that. And, oh, isn't this cute? And this singing Snoopy thing with a snow Santa hat and all. You know, Lord, we need to be grounded in you, Christ. We need to keep our focus on you, especially during the holidays. Thanksgiving is not necessarily about turkey and cranberries and all that great food. It's about giving thanks to the Lord for our prosperity. And we show that by putting out a big spread of food. It's comfort food and it's a celebration. But our focus is on you and our thanking you, Lord, for salvation and all of our blessings. And Christmas, our focus is on you and the gift of grace and encouraging people to receive this beautifully wrapped package from Lord Jesus and to open it and take it out and consume it, to put it on, to receive grace. That's why we give gifts at Christmas. It's not to increase the stock advantage at Walmart. It's to represent grace, this great gift, unmerited favor from the Lord. So, Lord, thank you for preparing our hearts now for this holiday season, which includes Thanksgiving to the Lord and Christmas to the Lord. You're so good to us, Lord. Thank you for preparing us. Holy Spirit, empower us to listen and to act and to be those ministers of the gospel that you, Lord Jesus, have ordained us to be. And all God's people said, Amen. Hey, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Have a great
week. Well, Happy New Year first.
Yeah.